Well, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. It's a beautiful sunny day today here in the Midwest. It's not as hot as it's been, so we're grateful for that. And we have begun to work our way through 2 Corinthians, and we are still in chapter 1. Last time we read as far as verse 9, where Paul has written, "But we ourselves have had the official decree of death in ourselves, in order that we might not be confident on the basis or in ourselves, on the basis of or in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead," plural, the dead ones, right? And verse 10 is marked with the equivalent of a colon in the Greek New Testament, but it just continues on with a relative clause, hos, which has the relative pronoun there, has as its antecedent God. So we're going to say some more about God. So we'll just pick up at verse 10 then, and I'll read the Greek. I think I'll do verse 10 and 11. It's continues with a comma there. And as we'll see, verse 11 presents some unusual difficulties both with the Greek and how best to render things in English. But we'll get to that in due course in just a minute. So verse 10, "Hos ek te lekutu thanatu e rusata hemas kai rusitai eis han el pikamen hati kai eti rusitai sin hip irgunton kai humon hiper hemon te de eze hina ek polon prosopon ta eis hemas charisma dia polon eucharistethe hiper hemon." So, again, the antecedent of the relative pronoun that begins verse 10 has to be a masculine singular antecedent. You remember that pronouns' antecedents agree with the pronoun in gender and number, but not necessarily in case. Here the antecedent is to theo, God, about five words earlier. So God who raises the dead, who, out of such a great death, telekutos is a kind of a correlative pronoun, I think they call it. It means so great or so much. And in English, we'd have to say something like, so great of a death, or something like that. Who, from so great a death, erisata is from ruomai, and it's the it's deponent verb, and this is just the aorist indicative, middle deponent, third person singular. So you see the ta, third singular ending on it. So, and it's just aorist, rescued. Who, from so great a death, rescued us, and, now, rusitai from the same verb, and this is a future indicative, middle deponent, third person singular, and he will rescue, comma, into whom elpikamen, this is from elpidzo, and you're hoping when you see a perfect indicative or a perfect fourth principal part of any mood, you're hoping to see a duplication. The epsilon on the basic stem of elpidzo duplicates by becoming eta. That's ambiguous, but you see the kappa at the end of the stem, and that helps to identify this as a perfect indicative active first plural. So in whom we have hoped that also still yet husitai he will rescue. So Paul is being a little redundant here, as you can see. So the verse reads again, who from so great a death rescued us and will rescue, in whom we have hoped that also still he will rescue. So again, I think the redundancy there is emphatic. Paul expressing his confidence here in God's provision. And the sentence goes on, and now we have a genitive absolute. This the participle is sun hip ur gunton. This is from sun hip ur geo, and it means to assist together with. The sun prefix gives it the together with sense or component of meaning. And so this is a masculine plural genitive present participle active. And the referent of the participle is humon, of you. And so you have the genitive plural, masculine plural genitive participle. And then you have the pronoun, which is also masculine. Well, it's plural genitive, and it's masculine for a generic reason. So you assisting together with. And we can take this as a temporal. So Paul is confident that God will rescue as you assist together. Might be too much to take it in a causal way, that Paul would know that God would rescue them because the Corinthians are assisting together. So we'll take it as temporal. While you assist together, hyperhemon, on our behalf, te deese. Deesis is just one of the words for prayer. And we'll take this as a dative of means, by prayer. All of this is taking place for a purpose, hina, in order that. And now we actually get to the difficulty in rendering this hina clause. The verb of the hina clause is eokaristethe. This is from our friend eokaristeo, which means I give thanks. It's epsilon contract. And this is actually an aorist subjunctive passive third singular. You can see the theta, eta. The circumflex on the end reminds us that sixth principal part subjunctives act like epsilon contract verbs. Of course, this is, in fact, an epsilon contract verb, but outside the first principal part, you generally don't have to deal with that. But the problem is how to render this in English. If this were an active voice verb, presumably Paul and his co-workers would be the subject. And when you have an active voice of eukaristeo, you have the subject, we, in this case Paul and his companions, we give thanks, and then you give thanks to someone in the dative, almost always God in these contexts. And then you give thanks for something in the accusative. So we give thanks to God, prayer. Or, in this case, we give thanks to God for a gift, a charisma. Right? So that's what it would look like if it were an active voice construction in the sine clause. But it's not. It's passive voice. So the accusative object of the verb, if it were active voice, has become the nominative case subject of the passive form. So ta charisma, which of course is ambiguous in and of itself. It could be nominative or it could be accusative. This is neuter singular nominative, and it's the subject. So how do you do this in English? We thank God for the gift. The gift was thanked for. I mean, it's just very awkward in English. And so you end up having to kind of simplify it a little bit in order just to have it make sense. So with all that as sort of introductory, the basic structure of the hina clause then would be, in order that the gift toward us, notice that ace hemas is in attributive position there between ta and charisma, that the gift toward or the gift for us might be thanked, or some such rendering. That, and then that would communicate the passive voice of the subjunctive verb in the hina clause. So that's tolerably clear, at least I hope it is. And now we have to put all these prepositional phrases in different places. So ek polon prosopon, literally, from or by many faces. And then diapolon, through many, either masculine or neuter, through many things, through many people. And then the final prepositional phrase is easiest, on our behalf, hyper hemon. You see the English translation is actually struggling with this, and the commentators note the ambiguities of where to put all these prepositional phrases. So I think maybe the easiest way might be to take ek polon prosopon as adverbial to the subjunctive verb of the hina clause, and to take dia polon as adjectival to ta charisma, since it's trailing along behind. Technically, you might like to have the repeated article. So, ta charisma, ta diapolon. So, but we'll take diapolon as adjectival to gift, and then we'll take hiperhemon as adverbial to the verb of the henna clause. So it would result in an awkward but hopefully understandable rendering, such as you assist together on our behalf by means of prayer, in order that the gift that is for us through the many might be thanked by many faces on our behalf. So in this understanding, the thanksgiving is going up from many people, presumably including the Corinthians, as they rejoice with Paul that he has been rescued by God and that God will continue to be faithful and to rescue him and his co-workers. So let's do that. I think maybe we'll back up and do verses 8 through 11 as a paragraph, and then we'll move forward to verse 12, just to get the thought. Because Paul is talking here about a specific instance of being delivered while he was ministering in Asia on the road, waiting to hear word from Titus about how things are going in the reconciliation with the Corinthians. So verse 8, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, about our tribulation which happened in Asia, that according to abundance above power we were weighted down so as to despair, so that we despaired even of life. Rather, we ourselves have had in ourselves the official decree of death, in order that we might not be confident in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who rescued us from such a great death, and who will rescue, in whom we have hoped that still he will rescue, while you assist together on our behalf by means of prayer, in order that the gift which is through many on our behalf or for us might be thanked by many faces on our behalf." Again, there's ambiguities there, but that at least is one way to put all of the pieces of the puzzle together. All right, we'll go on to verse 12. All right, here we go. "Hagar caucases hemon haute estin, ta martyrion tes synedeseos hemon, huti en haplatete kai e lecrinea tu theu, kai uk en sophia sarkike al en karate theu, an estrafemen en to cosmo, perisoteros de pros humas." And why would the gift, why would the thanksgiving be given, and why do we want you to not be ignorant of what happened to us, Paul is saying. It's because of this, verse 12. "For our boasting is this," or rather, the pronoun is probably the subject of the linking verb clause. "This is our boasting." There, this would be a classic example of a subjective genitive, where the boasting of us means that we are kaukaomaying, we are boasting. "For this is our boast, the testimony of our conscience." So ta martyrion is in apposition to boast, so it's just another nominative noun after the predicate nominative, he caucasus. "The testimony of our conscience." And there, what kind of a genitive might that be? Our conscience, does our conscience testify? Maybe it's another subjective genitive. "That in," now haplates and elekrinea seem to be sort of synonyms. So purity and sincerity, or sincerity and simplicity, or something like that. We'll take purity and sincerity. "That in purity and sincerity of God," perhaps here a genitive of source that comes from God, "and not in wisdom," what kind of wisdom? "Fleshly, sarkike, Rather, in the grace of God, now, after all these 1, 2, 3, N phrases, now you finally get to the verb of the hutti clause, that on estrophimen, we behaved, we conducted ourselves in the world. And perisoteros, this is an adverb, it's from the comparative adjective, more abundant, and it just means more abundantly, and more abundantly toward you. Now, the verb of the hutti clause is anestrophemen. This is from anastrepho, which means to turn again, but in the passive, be turned again comes to mean behave or conduct oneself. This is actually an aorist indicative passive first person plural. It's aorist passive. You'd look for you hope normally for a theta in the stem, and normally you get one, but this is a strong form. The sixth principal part of strepho is estraphane and not estraphthane. So, again, it's just an aorist indicative passive, first plural, and it has the sense of behave or conduct oneself. So, and how did we do that? In purity and sincerity of God, or from God, and not in fleshly wisdom, rather by or in the grace of God, we behaved in the world, and more abundantly, we behave that way toward you. Again, Paul here talking about his own motives and about, in contrast to the false teachers and false apostles who were trying to undermine his authority and also accuse him of being not only insincere but indecisive, as we'll see in verse 15 and following, where someone seems to be accusing Paul of being someone who vacillates and is weak in his planning. This actually leads to one of the most famous assertions about Jesus, that all God's promises are yes in Jesus, actually occurs there in 2 Corinthians 1:20, and it's in the context of accusations against Paul as being weak and indecisive. But we'll get to there in due course. So, verse 13, we'll continue. Ugar ala graphemen, humin, al e ha anagenoskete e kai epigenoskete, el pizzo de hati he os telus epignosiste. We'll go on and get verse 14 as well. Kathos kai ep egnote hemas apamerus, hati kauhema humon, humon esmen, kath aper kai humes hemon, ente hemera tu kirio hemon Jesu. 4, verse 13. We are not writing Allah. It's easy to confuse this with the adversative conjunction Allah, but this is actually the neuter plural accusative of Allahs, which means other. And here it means other things. It's the direct object of graphemen. For we are not writing other things to you. Now, all, you see the elided form of Allah, all a together, the lexicon suggests, is an acceptive phrase. It means accept. Or in other contexts, I suppose it could mean unless. For we are not writing other things to you except ha, that which anagenoskete, you are reading, or also you are knowing. So again, it's like what you see is what you get. Corinthians, our hearts are open to you. We're acting now just as we did before in sincerity and purity. So take what we're saying at face value. We are not writing to you other things except what you are reading and also are knowing. And, Elpidzo, Paul says, I hope that, in part, you will, finally, eos telos is a prepositional phrase that means completely or finally. And finally, epignosis, you will know. Gnosko, as you might conceivably remember, is deponent in its second principal part. So it goes, gnosko, gnosomai. And this is from epigenosko. So this is actually the future indicative middle deponent. So it just translates with an active force, and you will know. So again, the reconciliation has begun to happen. And here Paul says, look, I trust that you understand these things about our motives now, and I hope that you will know them heos telus, finally, completely, when the reconciliation is effected. And presumably this means when Paul himself continues to travel south and finally arrive at Corinth himself. By the way, heos telus, telus is it's the neuter singular genitive. It's ta telos, and it's a third declension noun. So if you're unwary, telus looks like it's accusative plural, but it's not. It's actually a neuter singular genitive after heos, which is functioning here as a preposition. And then verse 14, and then we'll come back and get the whole sentence. Just as also ep egnote, you knew us, apomerus, partly, that kaukema humon esmen, we are the boast of you. We are your boast. What do you have to give thanks to God? What do you have to be confident about? Paul says, well, your boast, we are your boast. We are your boasting, kathaper, just as also you, nominative, of us. Notice how elliptical this is. What Paul could have written, I suppose, is humes este he caucasus hemon. You are our boasting. But all he gives you is the pronoun of us. And when does this boasting happen? Well, here we have Paul's eschatological perspective. Everything is subject to the last day. Everything is revealed at the last day, at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, to back up then and get verses 13 and 14. For we are not writing other things to you except what you are reading or also you are knowing. And I hope that finally you will know, just as also you knew us in part, that we are your boast, just as also you are ours in the day of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus, right? Simply the name Jesus. All right, we'll go a little farther. We'll get into verses 15 and 16, and that'll help us to see the Paul is going to describe his various itineraries in his controversy with the Corinthians. So we'll get 15 and 16, and then we'll kind of come back next week and flesh it out a little bit eisegetically, actually. So 15 and 16. Kai taute te pepoithese ebulamen. Prateron prosimas elthane. Hina deuteron karin skata. Kai dihumin di elthane ace Macedonian, kai pollen apomacedonias elthane, proshimas, kai huf humon, pros pemphenai ace tenudion. And by means of this confidence, this is pepoithesis, is obviously related to patho, and in the perfect, it means to be confident, and this noun, feminine noun, pepoithesis, seems pretty clearly related from, derived from the perfect stem. And by means or because of this confidence, ebulamein, this is from bulamai, it means to want. I wanted or I planned proteron first, firster, to you to come. First I planned to come to you. In order that, skata is the aorist subjunctive active second plural of echo, in order that you, plural, might have a second grace, probably here, a second blessing or an additional gift. And now Paul goes on to describe his plan. So first he wanted to go. He was in Ephesus at the time. He wanted to go across the sea from Ephesus west to Corinth. So because of this confidence, I wanted first to come to you in order that you might have a second grace and through you to pass through Delphane into Macedonia, north to Macedonia, and again, now back south, from Macedonia to come to you and hippoplasta genitive bayou propempo. This is the aorist infinitive passive of propempo, to be sent forward or to be sent in advance. And bayou, to be sent ahead into Judea. So this was the original plan when Paul was still having a lot of trouble with the Corinthians, and before he had written the sorrowful letter, which he is about to mention. This would have been in about 55 or 54 AD or something like that. So Paul is in Corinth, and here was the original plan. Paul was in Ephesus, and here was the original plan. He was going to travel across the water to Corinth, see them, a second blessing, a second charis, then go up to Macedonia, check out things there, come back south to Corinth from Macedonia, and then to be sent by the Corinthian Christians as he took up the collection and carried it to Judea. All of this in the middle section of the 50s AD. Now, as we'll see, and by the way, this is 2 Corinthians 1 and 2 is a key passage for reconstructing Paul's movements in the 50s. As we'll see, that initial plan did not work. Paul made the trip to Corinth, but he was rebuffed by the Corinthians. And so he actually apparently returned to Ephesus and wrote what has come to be called the Sorrowful Letter. And that's what we'll kind of see unfolding as we move forward. But we'll stop there with verse 16, and we'll pick up at verse 17 next week in Greek Club.